Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
Today's show is entitled Arjun Wins the Heart and Hand of Lady Subhadra. When the sons of the Vrishni house were learning archery from Drona at Hastinapur, Arjuna's good friend had been Gada, the cousin of Krishna. Gada had told Arjuna about his cousin Subhadra. She was the sister of Krishna. Arjuna had heard so much about her beauty that he had fallen in love with her without ever having seen her. He now remembered her. Arjuna considered ways and means of seeing her without being seen. He did not want to be recognized by anyone. He knew that Subhadra was in Dwarka. Arjuna went to Prabhas Tirtha, a place very near Dwarka. He had disguised himself as a yati, a holy man following Lord Shiva. With a trident in his hand and with holy ashes covering his entire body, with garlands of Rudraksha beads on his neck and in his hair matted locks, Arjuna walked about the streets of Prabhas. During the night, he sat under the shade of a spreading banyan tree and gave the appearance of being in deep thought and meditation. The thought of Krishna was uppermost in his mind. He wished that he would come to him for some help. Suddenly it began to rain. It was pouring down in torrents, and Arjuna was still sitting under the banyan tree. Krishna had already heard about the arrival of the holy man at Prabhas. From the description, though, he had guessed that it must be Arjuna. He did not take him very long to guess the secret in the heart of his dearest friend, who was disguised thus, but with other thoughts in mind. That night he was spending with his favorite wife, Satyabhama. All of a sudden, he began to laugh loudly till tears ran down his cheeks. Satyabhama inquired why he was laughing, and he continued to laugh without saying anything. Finally, after some time, Krishna wiped his eyes and said,
"My cousin Arjuna had left his city Indraprastha a few months back. He had been on a pilgrimage, supposedly. Now the pilgrimage is almost over. Only 4 months are left. And with his heart filled with the image of my sister Subhadra, he has come to Prabhas. He has come in the guise of a certain Brahmin. It is the thought of him sitting under the shade of a big banyan tree while this rain is pouring down in torrents that made me laugh so much just now. I think it is but right that I should go to him now and give him a proper welcome to Dwarka."
Krishna went in the pouring rain towards the banyan tree under which poor Arjuna was sitting. The meeting of the friends was very tender. Krishna asked Arjuna all about his wanderings, for Arjuna had been on pilgrimage for 8 months. Arjuna related everything to him, and Krishna smiled slyly and said,
"So these wanderings have had such a sobering effect on the great Pandava that he has renounced the world and taken to a life of celibacy?"
Arjuna replied,
"My lord, you know how it is with me. You know the uppermost thoughts in my heart. You know why I've put on this attire. Can you help me to win the fair Subhadra?"
Krishna assured him that nothing would please him more than to see his dear sister as the wife of his dearest friend. He took him to the hill called Raivataka and asked him to spend some time there, and then Krishna returned to Dwarka. A few days elapsed. There was a great feast on the top of the hill. the Vrishnis went to the hill to spend some time there. Arjun was there without being seen by anyone. He watched them all passing by, and he knew them all. Suddenly, his eyes were arrested by the beauty of a woman who passed by. She was surrounded by several maids. Arjun looked at her, and his eyes expressed all the feelings in his heart. He heard someone by his side. Krishna had managed to escape from the crowd, and he came to Arjun and said,
"My friend, your, shall we say, lusty expression does not exactly fit with the attire of renunciation which you are sporting."
And Arjun replied,
"Please, Krishna, please do not tease me. Tell me who she is. Who is that beautiful woman who passed by just now?"
And Krishna told him,
"She is Subhadra, my half-sister. If you are interested in her, I can tell my father about it."
Arjun was extremely happy to know that the woman he had been loving, without having seen her, was as beautiful as she was reputed to be. And he said,
"My lord, I leave it to you to find a way out of this problem of mine. I love your sister. Tell me how I can make her mine. I must marry this girl."
Krishna laughed at him and said,
"My dear Arjun, you know that marriages are of many kinds, but the most wonderful of all these is the marriage of two people in love. If you can make my sister fall in love with you, then you can carry her away to Indraprastha and marry her. This is the method most common among warriors. As for the method, you must now go and sit in the temple courtyard. It will look better if you are absorbed in meditation, which will not be hard since you have something pleasant on which you can meditate. The rest will follow. Remember, Arjun, when the time comes, you must not lose your nerve."
Arjun did as he was told. Krishna went away and lost himself in the crowd of the Vrishni heroes. The worship in the temple was over, and Lady Subhadra and her maids had gone. Balaram, Krishna's brother, Kritavarma, Samba, Sharana, Pradyumna, and Gada, attended by others, went round the temple. They saw the young celibate sitting under the tree in the courtyard. He was deeply absorbed in meditation. His eyes were closed, and Balaram was greatly impressed by the personality of this young sadhu, who looked so pure and unearthly with his handsome face and body covered with holy ashes. His eyes were closed, and that lent a mystery to his entire pose. Actually, Arjun was highly nervous. He was afraid that they would see through his disguise in a moment. But they did not. Arjun had been told not to lose his nerve. Very cautiously, he opened his eyes and found Lord Balaram standing before him with his palms clasped together in an attitude of worship. He was safe. He had not been found out. Balaram prostrated himself before the young sadhu, and he welcomed him to Dwarka and said,
"May we know the plans of your holiness? Where have you come from? What can we do to make you comfortable?"
Arjun sighed a deep sigh of relief and said,
"I have been all over the world and seen many, many places. I have never in all that time spent more than 3 nights in any one place. But now, the rainy season has come in full force. The sky is dark with the dense black rain clouds. So I must spend these 4 months somewhere. I thought that this picturesque Rivataka Hill is a nice place to stay. In its silence, I may be able to concentrate on my meditation."
Balaram was greatly impressed by this young holy man who spoke so beautifully. He was determined to be the host to him. He seemed young in age, but old in wisdom. It was lucky that his Dwarka should have had the good fortune to have been chosen by the young sadhu for his 4 month stay. Just then, Krishna came to the spot. Balaram made him worship the great sadhu. Hiding a smile of mischief, Krishna fell at his feet and received the holy ashes with becoming humility. Balaram told him all about the sadhu, how he had traveled all over the world, and how he had honored their Rivataka hill by his presence, with the intention of spending the rainy season there. Balaram asked Krishna to suggest a proper place for the sadhu to stay, and Krishna said,
"When you are here, you, my elder, it will not be right on my part to talk. It would be impertinent."
Balaram was pleased with his younger brother's humility, and he said,
I think that the best place will be the gardens about the apartments of Subhadra. I will make her attend to all the wants of this great man."
It was the custom for young girls to attend on great men. The blessings of rishis and holy men were said to ensure a happy life and future for the young girls. According to that custom, Balaram suggested that their sister Subhadra should attend to the wants of the young celibate. Krishna wanted just this to happen, and it had happened. But his appearance belied his happiness. Krishna looked hesitant and said,
"Balaram, I don't know if it's advisable to let him stay in such close proximity with our Subhadra. After all, we know nothing about this man. This Brahmin seems to be young and handsome, and to be sure he's got a very beautiful body. Too beautiful, in fact, to have been under severe austerities for long. Moreover, he seems to have an eloquent tongue. Each of these opulences is very attractive to a young, impressionable girl. He seems to be endowed with all the qualities that are sure to attract and charm a young girl like our Subhadra. I do not advise him to stay near her. In fact, I strongly disapprove of your suggestion. But then again, you are wise and far-seeing. I'm sure that you must have considered all these points before coming to your decision."
Balaram was furious with Krishna for talking about the celibate in such disparaging terms, and he replied,
"You seem to be ignorant of the greatness of this young Brahmin. After all, he's traveled all over the world. He is a celibate with all his senses under control. It is right and proper for you to beg his pardon for saying such wrong things about him."
Krishna was then asked to take the young Brahmin to the apartments of Subhadra. He had to make all arrangements for the stay of the young Brahmin to be comfortable. Krishna was very pleased at the way things were shaping up and took Arjun to the palace gardens. He took Arjun by the hand and took him to his wives, Rukmini and Satyabhama. He told them who he really was, and they welcomed him with smiles and said,
"We have been hearing about you from all the Vrishnis and from our Krishna. We have been wanting to meet you for ever so long."
Krishna then took Arjun to Subhadra. He told her about the instructions of Balaram, and he left Arjun in the care of her. With a parting smile of teasing amusement, Krishna departed. Arjun spent several happy days in the gardens of Subhadra. She was following her brother's commands religiously. Arjun's love for her increased day by day. She would sit by his side and attend to all his wants. She would bring him his food and feed him herself. All the time Arjun would sigh and look at her. She could not understand, though, why he looked so unhappy. She would go away, playing in the garden with her friends. Arjun would keep looking at her, as Agni, the god of fire, would look at his beloved Swaha. Thus time passed, happily and unhappily for Arjun. In the city of Dwarka, and in the house of the Vrishnis, the name of Arjun was a household word. He stood for all that was brave and beautiful. In the school of archery, the common talk would be, You must become like Arjun. And when little boys quarreled, the talk would often be, do not dare to defy me or challenge me. Even Arjun is not my equal. Who are you then? When elders blessed the young boys, they would say, may you become as great as the warrior Arjun. When a woman was to become a mother, the blessing would be, may you be the mother of a son like Arjun. Living in an atmosphere steeped in the Arjun lore, Subhadra had already become more than interested in this hero. Her brother Krishna would often speak to her about Arjun and his lovable qualities and his personal beauty. Gada had told her so much about Arjun. She too, like Arjun, had fallen in love with him whom she had never seen. Rukmini, the wife of Krishna, had fallen in love with Krishna without having seen him. Subhadra was like her now. She was always eager for news about Arjun. Whenever anyone came from the direction of Indraprast, she would always beg them to tell her about Arjun. Days passed by pleasantly for Arjun. Subhadra was intrigued by the behavior of this young Brahmin. She could feel his eyes on her all the time. He would look at her with such hot eyes that she would run away, unable to meet his eyes. Slowly, a thought began to form in her mind. This Brahmin did resemble her Arjun. The description of Arjun, which she had heard, fitted this man. His arms and chest looked like those of Arjun. One day she saw his shoulders. Both of them were scarred. She had heard that Arjun could use both his hands when he handled the bows and arrows. A suspicion was formed in her mind. She thought, perhaps he is Arjun. But then reason would assert itself. How could this young celibate be Arjun? Arjun was not a sannyasi. She decided to talk to him about it. And one day Subhadra asked him,
they say you have traveled all over Bharatvasa. Please tell me about some of the beautiful spots you must have visited.
Arjun was only too glad to do so, and this became a daily routine. She would spend hours in his company, listening to his charming voice. He was eloquent, as Krishna had warned Balaram. Once, when they were together, Subhadra led the talk to Indraprast, and she said,
in your wanderings, you must have been to Indraprast. That is where my aunt Kuntideli lives. You must have seen Yudhisthira, our cousin. The Pandavas are cousins, you know.
The Brahmin said that he had met them and that he knew them all very well. And Subhadra told him,
I hear that Arjun has been away from Indraprast. He too, like you, must be wandering all over the world, visiting holy places. Have you by any chance met him during your wanderings?
Arjun thought that the time was opportune. He smiled at her and said,
oh yes, I have met Arjun. In fact, I know where he is, right now.
Where?
Subhadra asked. She was so excited to hear that he knew about Arjun. Arjun replied,
I will tell you.
He addressed her in a very gentle and caressing tone.
Arjun has fallen in love with the most beautiful woman in this world. To get her, he's disguised in the garb of a young Brahmin. He is always here, just before you. How is it that you have not recognized me so far?
Subhadra's face became flushed. She looked down, not daring to meet his eyes. He told her about his love for her. He spoke pleadingly and told her that he could not live without her. She listened without speaking a word and then left to her chambers. Subhadra then became sick. sick with love for Arjun. Krishna knew how things were now. He felt that it would be wiser if the two young people did not meet for some time. He sent Rukmini to attend to the wants of the young Brahmin. When she saw the disappointment on his face of Arjun, she could not contain herself.
I am sorry you are not pleased with my coming,
Rukmini said with a mischievous smile. Arjun looked sheepish. She told him about Subhadra, that she was unwell, and that the cause was beyond the intelligence of all the physicians. Subhadra's illness was the cause of worry to Devaki and all the others. Devaki went to Balaram and Krishna and told them about it. Krishna suggested that they should all go to the island nearby and worship Lord Rudra for a month or so. He would set the matter right. The credulous Balaram thought that it was a good plan. They all left Subhadra alone and went to the island to perform this worship. Krishna managed to spend a few moments alone with his dear sister and told her,
Listen to me carefully, Subhadra. We are all going out for about 2 weeks or a month. You'll be here. I'm going to go talk to the Brahmin now. 12 days from today is an auspicious day. I think it will be just the right day for your wedding.
And he left with the others. Twelve days later, Arjun spoke finally to Subhadra and said,
Your brother Krishna must have told you already that today is the day of all days when I will realize my heart's dearest wish. You know how much I love you. I have spent sleepless nights thinking of you and of this happy moment. We are warriors. We are allowed to kidnap our future wives. I will do so if you will only please agree to this.
Subhadra was silent. Tears coursed down her cheeks, and Arjun comforted her. He told her,
Don't be afraid or upset, my love. I will carry you away to Indraprastha.
He asked her to get into the chariot, ready yoked with swift horses to carry them away. The chariot had to be equipped with all weapons. She did as she was told. The chariot was that of Lord Krishna. He had left it behind for the sole purpose of helping Arjun. It was fitted with his favorite horses, Saibya, Sugriva, Valahaka, and Megapushpa. Subhadra came and told Arjun that everything was now ready. Arjun knew that Subhadra was very efficient in the art of driving a chariot, and he asked her to take the reins. Discarding the dress of a Brahmin and donning his usual princely robes, Arjun ascended the chariot. He looked his old self now, and the lovers were ready to go. With the crack of a whip, Subhadra started the horses, and the chariot got well on its way. The watchmen of Dwarka City saw Lady Subhadra being carried away by some warrior. They tried to stop the progress of the chariot, but they could not. The two had gone beyond the outskirts of the city. The miscreant was recognized by some as Arjun, and the warning signal was given. It announced to the Vrishnis that danger was threatening Dwarka. Hearing this, they all returned to the city, led by Lord Balaram. They were told that Subhadra had been carried away by someone who looked like Arjun, and Balaram was furious. He looked at Krishna, who stood silent, and said,
You are silent, but this must be your doing. Why did you allow this to happen?
Krishna said with startled eyes,
I allow this to happen? In fact, it was I who warned you about this possibility. Perhaps you do not remember. Even at the beginning, I spoke to you about the danger of bringing these two people together. Both are young and both are beautiful. I knew that something like this would happen, but you would not listen to a word against this Brahmin. Now look what has happened. If I may say so, it is all your doing, my lord.
And Balaram replied,
Krishna, I know you through and through. You must have had a hand in this. Even now, it is not too late. We will all go in pursuit of Arjun. I will destroy him and also the entire Indraprastha city. I will destroy all the Pandavas.
With his eyes spitting anger, the great Balaram looked like the god of death. Krishna went near him and tried to pacify him. He spoke in his soft, gentle, persuasive voice, as though he were talking to a child, and said,
"Don't be so angry, my brother. If you do make up your mind to destroy the Pandavas, nothing can save them. They will be like wisps of cotton caught in a gale. It's not right that you should be so angry. Let's pause for a moment and consider what has happened. Our Subhadra accompanied Arjun willingly enough. It's obvious from the fact that she equipped my chariot and drove it herself. Don't you think that she has probably chosen Arjun as her lord? After all, my dear brother, it is Arjun and not some other ordinary man. What better husband could we get for our sister by searching all over the globe? It certainly isn't an insult to our family that our cousin has taken a liking to Subhadra. After all, he belongs to the great Kuru house. As for his prowess, well, he's unequaled by anyone. He's born of a good mother, and his father is Indra, the Lord of the Heavens. And he himself is the brightest star in the galaxy of the Kuru clan. He is indeed a worthy person to marry our sister. I suggest we make peace with him and put aside our anger. It's no shame to desist from fighting. It's commendable in this case. Let's follow him and show him that we are not angry with him."
Balaram became convinced by the arguments of Krishna. They then set out in pursuit of Arjun, but he had gone too far. They had to return to Dwarka, and they decided to wait till Arjun reached Indraprast. They would go there later, and Arjun and Subhadra would marry according to religious rites. And so they made preparations to go to Indraprast. In Indraprast, everyone was thrilled to see the return of Arjun and was shouting excitedly, "Arjun has come back! Arjun has returned!" Finally, he reached the palace. He fell at the feet of his brothers, Yudhisthira and Bhima. Nakula and Sahadev received his warm embrace, and he told them all about his wanderings and about his love affair at Dwarka, about his marriage with Subhadra, the sister of Balaram and Krishna. A few days later, the host of Rishnis arrived in Indraprast with costly gifts and precious gems and 1,000 beautiful things as their dowry for Lady Subhadra. They came to celebrate the wedding of Arjun and Subhadra. They all stayed in Indraprast for a few days after the wedding. A few days later, Balaram, with all his attendants and the other Rishnis, returned to Dwarka. Krishna, however, did not return with them, but he stayed on in Indraprast with his beloved Pandavas.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyasa many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.